This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report. Today we're looking at cyberbullying and thanks to Shannon there too for the news. She's been here since breakfast. That's dedication for you. The police are keen to tackle cyberbullying, but they couldn't put up a spokesperson today because they are, quote, currently recalibrating their involvement in such cases as they evaluate the effect of Brodie's Law. Also, their principal spokesperson on the subject happens to be on leave. Otherwise, we would have had a police spokesperson here. Brodie's Law, by the way, is the one that came in following the death of a young cafe worker who was hounded by her employers. Now, owners of websites, like dating sites, social media, Facebook and so on, don't seem to have too good a handle on cyberbullying either. And its impact, as we're going to hear, can be more devastating than traditional playground bullying. But researchers are starting to reveal its outlines, and we're beginning to grope our way towards strategies to prevent it and try to deal with it. Professor Marilyn Campbell is one of the National Centre Against Bullying board members and an expert on cyberbullying and child and adolescent anxiety disorders. Dr. Lynn Hillier is a researcher at the Australian Research Centre for Sex, Health and Society and works with the Safe Schools Coalition, combating homophobic bullying in schools. And Mandy Ross is senior cyber safety specialist with the Alana and Madeline Foundation, and she'll be joining us to explain about their eSmart School cyber safety system. Too many S's in there. Now, you'll find links to all those particular programs on the program blog, rainbowreporter.com, which you can also reach via the Facebook page, The Rainbow Reporter. But cyberbullying doesn't just happen to kids. Jay is struggling with being bullied on gay dating sites right now, and we'll be talking to him in just a moment. Helping me out today is Zoe Warwick, who says, and I quote, used to work in the area of bullying and sexual assault on youth an eon ago when she still had street cred.
That's right, when, about 26 or around there. I think you lose your street cred about 26, 28.
Do you? Oh, yeah. I wasn't aware of that. And now you're interested in corporate psychopathy.
Yeah, corporate psychopathy. I got interested when I was setting up the Employment Law Centre at WA, and I'd worked in a rape crisis centre, the Sexual Assault Resource Centre, where I was doing lots of bullying training and that sort of thing, realised that the same profile for sexual predators was the same as corporate psychopaths.
Ah, well, we can talk about that later.
That's for a different day.
Well, no, we can talk about workplace bullying too. It's an important issue. And also, welcome back yet again to the show, Rob Mitchell, and happy birthday to you too.
Thanks, Doug. And I'm just reflecting on that. If you lose your street cred at 26,
amongst young people.
Well, I was just going to say that horse is a long bomb.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you get it back when you pass 60 and you're still in the game, actually.
Yeah. Depending who it's for, I guess. I'm talking about young people.
Yeah. Now, if you've been listening to Joy this morning, you may know that we don't have SMSs today. You can't react to the program via SMS, which is a pretty pity because we like to get your messages. However, email onair@joy.org.au will still get through to us if you can do that via your very smartphone or your laptop or your iPad or whatever little machine you have. You can also put something on the program's Facebook page, The Rainbow Reporter, or you could actually tweet at Rainbow Reporter. That's the program's Twitter ID, and hopefully I'll be able to keep track of all those different websites and put your comments to air. You're listening to The Rainbow Report. Now, we often talk about the internet as a liberating force for the gay and lesbian community, and it's undoubtedly helped many of us break isolation and make contact with others. But there are times when it can get worse, and that's when people turn on you on the net. And that's what's happened to our first guest this morning. We'll call him Jay because I don't want to give away too many details in case it makes the situation worse. Good afternoon, Jay. How are you?
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me on. I'm well. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, explain what's been happening to you.
Well, it's come to me across from several online dating sites where initially I'm in my mid-30s, and initially it was just a bit of negative comments towards me. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of progressed on from there.
And when you say negative comments, what sort of negative comments are you getting?
Stupid little childish things like calling me ugly, and it would start with one person and a couple of other people would join in, and then it would just kind of progress to more nastier stuff. And just recently it's gone to quite a new level where people I've been chatting to have been told that I have HIV, uh-huh. that I've been spreading it, that I'm out to kill people. And even though...
So that's getting pretty nasty.
Yeah, it is. And even though the online services try to block people, they just keep on coming back with new nicknames. And recently they've been using different variations of my nickname and coming back.
So they've been basically trying to masquerade as you some of the time.
Yes, it appears that way, yeah. But the service providers have been good, but they can't be there 24 hours a day, you know, watching every single online panel.
Well, no, that's true. But you told me that one of them had actually kind of given up and booted you off the site as a result.
Yes, one of the online service providers just they pretty much. Every time I would come online, I would just, the whole channel would pack out with abuse towards me, so they just decided to block me instead of blocking bullies.
Oh, that was charming, Zoe.
Yeah, well, not very different to how it operates in the real world sometimes, isn't it? The person who's actually being victimised is the person who's being made responsible instead of the other way around.
Mm. Now, have you said you've been talking to the owners of these sites and they've been trying to help you out in a rather negative fashion in at least one case. Have you consulted anybody else about what's been happening? Have you spoken to the police, for example?
I've been thinking about going to the police, but the only information I've been getting from the service providers have been pretty much just form responses, like form letters, nothing really personalised.
Mm-hmm. Right. Automated responses, probably most of the time.
So, have they given any sort of guarantee to you that they'll block these users if it continues?
Well, they actually do block the users, but the users will be back 5 minutes later with a new nickname. So,
Rob,
Joe, just a couple of questions. Firstly, do you mind naming the dating sites, please?
I'd rather not name them on air.
Okay, so they're popular, well-known GLB or, you know, game lesbian dating sites.
Yeah, we'd rather not get into naming them again because we don't want to identify Jay too closely.
Okay, no worries. Now, just for your own benefit, but and this has been used to great effect in the news very recently with the Madeleine Pulver case with the fellow, you know, who's allegedly put the bomb around Madeleine Pulver's neck. When you log into any of these dating sites, the IP address or internet protocol address of your computer will be recorded. Now, have they told you that they can track that to an actual physical individual address?
I do know they can. I have asked them to block it to keep those users out, but they've said they won't block it. So,
right.
That would seem to be the obvious thing to do. I wonder why they don't want to do that.
I think it's just an internal policy kind of thing on their side.
Now, yeah, when we talked about this off-air, you said initially you didn't let it bother you and you thought you could shrug it off, but you found increasingly it's having an impact on you.
Yeah, I'm in my mid-30s, as I said, and I thought I could just shrug it off, you know, just ignore them. But even if I block them online, when I can't see what they're saying, they're talking to other people behind my back, and in the end it gets back to me. So if I talk to a new person, they've heard things about me, and yeah, it gets to a point where you know, it's just too much.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to stay off the sites altogether for a while?
That's what I did the other day, yeah. I just got rid of it.
Yeah, I think that's probably about the only thing you can do, but it's a pity that, you know, that there doesn't seem to be any way to hit back at them, Rob.
I actually think there's a lot that the service providers could do if they were minded to. And Jade, look, I'd be encouraging you to, and I'm happy to speak to you off air about this, about having a chat to the GLBDI liaison officers of Victoria Police, because for you to be doing this off your own bat is one thing, but if the, you know, it seems to me that this just hasn't been going on for, you know, a few days or a week. It's obviously an established pattern of behaviour. And there's obviously, you know, from what you're telling us, there's a few key protagonists. I think you'd find that, you know, once the police were involved, And I'm not a lawyer, but it does seem to me that the law is being broken here in terms of stalking or harassment and defamation. You might find that with the police going to the service providers that the things. I mean, Jay, sunlight has a transformative effect on organisations, mm-hmm. Particularly mm-hmm. when money. I'm thinking, in my mind, these are a couple of well-known branded dating sites that have been quite happy to take money off the community in the form of parties and events. And if it's one I'm thinking of, obviously they sponsor a very major event in this country. So I think that going to the police and doing this in a more structured and having some other people giving you a hand, because you shouldn't have to do this on your own.
Yeah, and the AFP, the Australian Federal Police, actually have a unit that will follow up on your behalf.
Yeah, I think it's really the wrong message to be. You know, it's certainly the wrong message to be sending to you, but to anybody else mm-hmm. listening. I'm sure you are not the only person in this situation. Mm-hmm. That for you to be sitting there thinking that nothing can be done when we're about to speak to a whole lot of experts. In a different context with schooling and so on, that this is a problem and we need to fix it.
There's a cybercrime bill that's actually in front of Parliament at the moment, and it's about to be put into law. So, your local member, there's a bit of leverage here. So
you might find if you got in contact with your local MP and told them your story, you might get some leverage there, and a bit of bad publicity for these sites for not doing more might world of effect, Jay. Yeah. Thank you very much for telling us your story and for joining us this afternoon.
Great. Thanks for your advice, guys.
Take care.
Take care, yeah. And that is the important point, yes. Do take care. Do take care of yourself, because, as he said, you think it's not affecting you, but it creeps up on you.
Absolutely, and there's little enough sense of belonging and connectivity in our community without people within the community itself actually, eating their own.
And he's not a teenager. I mean, he's an articulate man,
Exactly.
And he's finding it difficult going. Clearly, if it was a teenager and they were getting this in sort of in parallel from the stuff at school and maybe to a sporting club, obviously, we know what happens in terms of the rates of depression and so on. So we need to
And if people are spreading rumours about his positive or non-positive status, I mean that's a breach of our criminal code.
Absolutely.
Here. If they are from Australia, they can be challenged.
And I think the other issue too, he's obviously using this as a dating site. I mean, the worst possible outcome could be that he gets this idea that that there's a whole lot of people who dead shits, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
I mean, he's obviously having a bad run, but there is something that can be done.
People need to know that they can't defame people either in a public space, particularly if they are in Australia.
Exactly, and that's all about the accountability of it.
Yeah.
Well, as you heard there, that things can be done.
Mm.
Now, the time when people are most vulnerable to this kind of thing is when they are at school, and that's the hardest time to deal with it as well, because you're at your most vulnerable. It's been shown time and again that schoolyards are a tough environment. Bullying in schools is widespread. Our next guest is on the board of the National Centre Against Bullying, and she's done a heck of a lot of research into this issue. So welcome to the programme, Professor Marilyn Campbell. Good afternoon, Professor. Hello?
Marilyn.
Marilyn, she's not there.
Oh.
We don't seem to have her. Okay, well, we'll have another go at getting hold of her if we can. In the meantime, as I said earlier, there is no SMS today. You can, however, email us onair@joy.org.au. You can call the front desk, which is 1300-JOY-949. Or if you want to get in touch with me specifically, you can stick something on the Rainbow Reporter page of Facebook, or you can tweet to @RainbowReporter using Twitter. Now, the SMS may not be working, but Vic Rhodes is working, so I've got a couple of messages from them regarding problems on the Westgate Freeway. Two lanes blocked outbound near Montague Street. That's Port Melbourne on the Westgate Freeway, so watch out for that one. And what else do we have here? Oh, there's another one come through. also from Vic Roads. It's now just the right-hand lane blocked outbound near Montague Street on the Westgate Freeway. Okay, now I think we now have Professor Marilyn Campbell on the line from the Queensland University of Technology. Good afternoon, Professor.
Good afternoon, Doug.
Sorry about that little technical hiccup there, but we got you eventually. Now, when you and I spoke before the program yesterday, you said one thing that really kind of shook me, rather, which was that the impact of cyberbullying could be worse than traditional bullying. How is that so?
Well, we think that there are many different kinds of reasons, Doug, for that. I mean, one of the things is that technology makes it different from traditional bullying is that, of course, there is a wider audience. So that while you might be in the playground and you might have, you know, two or three people or even 10 or 20 watching, with technology and in the internet, there's a huge potential wide audience who can actually see your humiliation. And not only that, you've also got the ability to bully 24/7. So if you are only bullied at school, then you kind of thought home was a safe place. But of course now, even at 1 o'clock in the morning, you can get a text, and of course you answer it, as you do. And it can be a bullying text. So 24/7, a wider audience, sometimes the bully can remain anonymous. And there's a more enduring nature of the written word and of pictures, so that young people tell us that they are very humiliated. And we've got data just coming in now that shows that kids who when I say kids, I mean, you know, young people who are actually cyberbullied have more sadness, they're more depressed, they are more anxious than victims of traditional bullying. And those who are bullied both ways
that's double whammy.
Exactly. And we found that, in fact, it's about 80% of kids who are involved in both. So it's not a new breed of students who are actually just going...
It's technology enabling it. It's technology enabling it, like it enables so many other things.
It's a cycle.
Yes.
So the kids go to school and they're bullied, and then they go home and they're bullied by these same kids again. So it's just kind of makes the reach of the bully even further. And it's the same kids. And you would expect that because bullying's a social relationship problem. It's not a technological problem.
I've got a message here from Clem Newton-Brown, MP for Paran. He says, the recent phenomenon of sexting lays the base for much of cyberbullying. Naked pictures are exchanged with consent, but then further forwarded when relationships break down with sometimes devastating consequences. And I intend to ensure that our government fully reviews these issues and moves to better protect our kids.
Well, I'm not sure that legislation used in a punitive sense is going to be the answer here. What you have is that you have, as you say, consensual taking of photographs being exchanged. Now, you can do that with an old-fashioned brownie box camera, which shows my age. Or you can do that with...
Mine too, I know what it is.
I know.
Nothing wrong with that.
And so you can still exchange naked photos. It's just that you don't have the ability to spread them as far.
Yeah.
Now, you can't legislate. I mean, what you can do is that you can charge these young people already because they have actually made child pornography and then they distribute child pornography. But those laws weren't made for young people. They were made for paedophiles exploiting kids, not kids doing it themselves.
Rob Mitchell, you want to come in here?
Yeah, look, Look, without overly pumping up Clem Newton-Brown's tyres, because, I think he's on the right track in that if we make it perfectly clear that they engage in a certain set of behaviours, we're quite happy to ping them. Now, I agree with what you're saying that when those laws were formulated, and there's been some press recently about kids who are doing that who are then ending up on the
sex offenders registration list,
and there was, a magistrate, you know, reporting the media saying, well, that was, you know, profoundly unfair, and I agree with all that. But if we don't actually say, well, okay, we're going to, and I agree with you, it's a social behaviour problem, but, you know, it's all very well saying with a brownie box camera. You couldn't then take the photo from a brownie box camera and promulgate it instantly to literally an unlimited number of users. So we need to say to these people, look, this is not on, and we say, okay, we give them some guidance in inverted quotes, but the government is on the right track.
Well, why make it a crime? We already have a crime.
Because the same reason I get a speeding ticket when I do 110 in a 100 zone.
But, okay, so let's look at with young people. There's laws against graffiti. There's laws against underage sex. There's laws against drugs. Has that actually reduced these problems with young people?
Well, it would if we could apply the laws and make them stick. I agree with you. I mean,
the same kind of thing as
sex. No, it's not. Not at all. It's ridiculous. I mean, with drugs, for example, we've got a supply. We try and put in a supply side fix. We try and reduce the supply of drugs. It's been a miserable failure because we're not tackling the demand side. But here, where we've got an opportunity with the technology, and I'm thinking primarily of the wireless providers. That's Vodafone, that's Optus, and that's Telstra. If, for example, we wanted to ping a particular social networking site because it wasn't playing ball and wasn't cooperating with the police and providing IP addresses, that's a walk in the park. And I agree with Clem, where we've got the opportunity to avail ourselves of legislation using the technology, let's do it. Let's send a really clear message that this behaviour is not on.
But are you saying that you're going to ping the young people or you're going to ping the ISP?
I'm going to say, let's do the whole lot. Let's have a whole approach. If Facebook, for example, which is, you know, reputed to be going to be listed for $100 billion next year, they've got plenty of opportunity, plenty of resource and plenty of know-how to cooperate with the legislature to get rid of this problem. But let's not just sit here and say, oh, God, you know, it's all too hard and we can't fix it. You know, it's ridiculous.
Are you talking about the individuals who are sending photos between each other, or are you talking about an individual who takes a photograph and then disseminates it without the consent of the other person?
I'm saying that we're obviously saying about photos where people have been the photos have been taken without their consent and distributed without their consent. We've got the technology to stop that happening, to identify these people.
Well, okay, look, I don't think we're all going to agree on this one, and there's other things I want to ask the professor about before we get bogged down in that particular one. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on that particular point. But it does lead me on to something else that we talked about offline, which was that you said in dealing with bullying, in particular with cyberbullying, adults often get it wrong and can make the situation worse. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think sometimes people take a very simplistic view on looking at reducing bullying and cyberbullying. I mean, one of the first things when cyberbullying came up this century was that people said, well, just take the computers away from the kids or take their mobile phones away. These are kinds of knee-jerk reactions which will punish the victim and not the bully. So that, as Jay said originally this afternoon on the program, that the ISP was willing to put him off because he was seen as the cause of the trouble. So I think what we also do as adults will say, okay, I mean, I know of one case where schools have said, okay, come and report to the deputy principal's office and write it down and give us all of the cyberbullying evidence and we will take it from there. And so then they came back and they said to the kid again, so has it stopped? And he said, oh, yes, it's stopped. They said, oh, that's good. They didn't even think to say, are you so scared now because the bully's got back to you and is intimidating you even further that you're just telling us that it stopped? So therefore, and they also disempower. I mean, a victim is already, by definition, disempowered. They're frightened of the bully. They don't want to tell anybody. If they get up the courage to, what we often do as adults is say, let me handle it. I'll take over. They give the bully 2 days' holiday off school and then put the victim in to do assertiveness training at lunchtime.
Mm.
We still haven't got it right. Mm. We're still looking at victims all the time. What we should be doing is trying to change the behaviour of the bullies. And we've got to be sensitive about when people tell us about bullying. And I don't think that we are.
Mm. Marilyn, can I just quickly ask you, out of the information that you got back in the surveys that have been done and the evidence that you've received, how much of the use of bullying is actually utilising sexually related slurs, so sexuality related slurs, where people are called poofters or lesos or any of those sorts of terms, I suppose, in the bullying process?
I haven't, the surveys that I did last year, I haven't done that, but I actually have a...
Really interesting for us to know.
Yes, I have a student who is just finishing a project on exactly looking at that particular with LGBT students in a university, and she will be publishing her paper at the end of this year.
Great.
Exactly on that topic.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing that, Marilyn. We're running a bit low on time now, so there's lots more I'd love to talk to you about, but we don't have the time. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, and keep up the good work.
My pleasure. Thank you, Doug.
That was Professor Marilyn Campbell from the Queensland University of Technology. Don't forget, if you want to join in the conversation, unfortunately today you can't do it via SMS, but you can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can phone the switchboard 1300JOY949. You can use the iPhone app, because there's a little contact the studio button in there, or you can get in contact with me directly via the Facebook page, The Rainbow Reporter, or via Twitter, @RainbowReporter. Next, we're going to look at a couple of initiatives aimed at tackling cyberbullying. The Safe Schools Coalition with Dr. Lynn Hillier and the Alama and Madeline Foundation's eSmart program for cyber safety in schools.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.